Welcome to the We Know Show. I'm your host, Renate Stralifer, creator of We Are Not Sam. Take a deep dive with me as I chat with global visionaries in conversations that uncover inconvenient truths, but also shine a light on how to be healthy, safe, and human in a technology-obsessed world. Let's get started. Welcome everyone to the We Know Show. Today we've got with us Christian Marciano. He is the powerhouse and spokesperson behind the action group National Education United. It's an 18,000 plus member group, which is bringing together an army of teachers, lawyers, and parents from the education sector and beyond. He's standing up united with us to say no to mandatory vaccinations and vaccine passports. For the past 5 years, Mac has been working in education as a passionate and much-loved high school biology teacher in Sydney. His previous work to being a teacher, he's worked in health, wellness and fitness for 20 years. He's completed a degree in sports and exercise science, and then he's gone on to inspire and train clients in boxing, weightlifting and fitness. He's got an extensive experience and knowledge in natural health and the human body, and he's also a dad, comes from a place of inspired action, straight from the heart. He's a warrior spirit and is the driving force behind the strike Reclaim the Line, rolling out this Friday, October 1st. The strike is a call to action for doctors, for police officers, teachers, healthcare workers, firefighters, pilots, miners, truck drivers, and anyone else facing medical discrimination in Australia through the government's no jab, no job policy. And standing united to send a clear message that, you know, we're not going to stand for this coercion and tyranny. So welcome, Mac.
All right. Thanks, thanks, Renate. That was a lovely introduction. Sorry, I just took myself off mute because you might hear my kids downstairs playing. Can you actually hear them?
Yeah, it's all fine. It's all part of the narrative.
I'm going to move because I don't want to, you know, interfere with their feed. Yeah, okay. But look, thanks for having me on. That was a wonderful introduction. Very excited to be speaking to you. And look, I must thank you and your team because you guys have also just been a massive driving force behind us, behind me. You know, when you reached out to me a few weeks ago and you gave me some subtle hints about what I should be doing, which direction I should be taking, fantastic. So thank you. And I really look forward to what we're going to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've enjoyed every minute of working with you, Mark. It's it's a really great thing, and it's a calling that you and I both know that we have, and I think that's what brings us together in this inspired action. So I'm very, very honoured to be part of this journey with you. I want to start off by letting all our viewers know a little bit about you and your backstory and the impetus to start, you know, National Education United. I think it's such an important story for people to hear.
Yeah, so it started probably about not even 5 weeks ago, to be honest. And it all really came about from the New South Wales Premier making an announcement that the teachers, the education sector, will need to be vaccinated before they can return to work. Now, look, prior to that, I was fairly outspoken, but just within my circle of friends, within my channels. I'm not on any social media, so I never posted my thoughts or opinions. But I guess once that announcement was made, a video that I had made a couple of days prior ended up circulating on the internet. It went viral, and I sort of became this figurehead for this movement for teachers. And I thought, okay, well, contacted a few people that I knew that were on the same page, and we set up the National Education United. It started off with four of us, and now it's over 18,000. People, and that includes parents, teachers, educators, support staff, maintenance staff, lawyers, doctors, concerned citizens, everyone. And look, our main focus was, because you'll probably know for yourself on Telegram, there are a lot of groups which are just chatting. They're just chats. They're just spam fest. People are sharing information about Bill Gates wanting to depopulate the world, or COVID is a scam, or David Icke talking about the lizard people, and depending on which rabbit hole you go down to, and I've been down them all, okay, believe me, I've been down them all, and I love them all, but we needed just clear direction and focus, and our focus was no mandatory vaccines, and no vaccine passports. And that first it started off for teachers, but now we're encompassing everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. You should not be subjected to medical apartheid or any of this medical tyranny. And that is what we stand for, because if you allow mandatory vaccines and you allow vaccine passports, that basically everything else falls over. But if we can beat those two things head on, then we've done a lot to reclaim that line that they took from us.
Yeah, amazing. And what have you found to be the most serious concerns and fears from parents and teachers and other workers in that movement?
That they don't have a voice, because as we know, in the last 18 months, the debate has been shut down so much, and anyone has a differing opinion, they get banned, they go into Facebook jail, or they're shut down, or their families are divided, they lose friends. So people feel that they don't have a voice, and that's scary, because parents are thinking, well, I'm sending my kids to school and I don't want them to be coerced into taking a vaccine. And all of a sudden now 12 years old seems to become the age of consent. Like, hello, you can't even drive until you're 17, you know, where you have a full license. You can't vote till you're 8, and you can't buy alcohol or tobacco until you're 18. You can't even buy a box of Nurofen over the counter anymore at the chemist. But at 12 years old, you can now, consent to having a vaccine. So that's the concern from parents. And I guess for teachers, it's job security. They're educators, anyone, nurses, cops, anyone that is on board with this, it's job security. How dare someone says to us, you will not be able to work, earn a living, provide for your family if you don't take this vaccine, which has only been around for, 6 months? You know, it came in January, so what are we now, September? So 9 months it's been out. Vaccines take 12 years generally to come to market, 12 years, and you're asking us to take something that's been developed over 12 months. Like, where is the common sense? You can't even have a box of Panadol in a first aid kit in your workplace. It's illegal. But you go and ask the receptionist, can I have the first aid kit or should I take Panadol? They can't even give you advice to take a Panadol. It's illegal. Yet we're getting bosses telling their staff, you need to go and have the vaccine. Well, can you show me the substantiated scientific evidence that it's safe, effective, and necessary? Oh, it's just the law now. Well, it used to be legal to have slaves. So when someone says, well, it's the law, I'm sorry, there are a lot of things that used to be law in this country which are no longer law because they were morally wrong.
Absolutely agree. There was a post I recently shared, and it said morality, doing what is right regardless of what you are told, and obedience is doing what you are told regardless of what is right. And I think that's what you're speaking into right now. And that's what we're seeing as, you know, part of this campaign is really about reclaiming the line and doing what is right and getting back our freedoms, as you spoke into. And I think, honestly, I do see a mass awakening happening of humanity. And I do also believe that non-compliance is where this ends. And a lot of what you're encouraging is a lot of the work that, you know, that teachers can do to speak into this moment is really about saying, you know what, I'm going to leave my union if I don't get represented. I am going to write to my principal. And you're giving people a framework. You're empowering people to step into this role of freedom fighters and warriors. And I love what you do at the end of all your halftime speeches, where you armor up, you get your shield on, you get your troops with heart on the hill, and you understand that the one thing that's standing between the establishment and our children are the people that are willing to rise up in this moment and to reclaim their freedoms. And that is what has drawn me to you and to your campaign, because I feel that in every breath and every word you say. And for those of you that haven't tuned into Max Halftime Speeches, believe me, they should be part of your daily routine at this point in time, because it's such powerful work that you're doing. And this is such a calling when you step into that role, Mark, it resonates. And that's why on a daily basis, there are thousands and thousands of more teachers and parents that are joining your group. And kudos to you for bringing it all together, because it's such big work that you're doing, Mark.
Thanks.
I just wanted to commend you on that. I'd love to hear more about the call to action, you know, for this campaign about reclaiming the line. I want to hear it in your words, give us a bit of your halftime speech. I guess for those of you that haven't heard it, I really think this is the moment you've got to tune in.
Renat, we're asking people to find their inner lion, find their inner warrior, their inner, their whatever it is, their Spartan spirit, their gladiatorial fight, whatever it is, just find it within you. Now, we're not asking you to break the law. Being non-compliant doesn't mean you are breaking the law. You were born with God-given rights. Okay, now, it doesn't, even if, you know, we have people that may not believe in God, this is not what this is about. You may believe in a supreme being, you may, but there is something that brought us here to this earth. Okay, we were born free. We were born free to breathe. We were born free to love, to cry, to be with our family, to assemble, to eat, to provide, to hunt, to gather. That is exactly what we were born to do. Now, that, so much of that has been taken away from us. You just have to look at the last 18 months, what they have taken away from us. And I call them the inches, inch by inch. They have taken so much away from us. And we're not saying, people, you need to go out and be violent. You need to go out there and protest and rally and do any of that. No, we're not asking. We're asking you to be a spiritual warrior. Now, non-compliant doesn't mean you're breaking the law. Okay, people really need to distinguish what is laws and what is mandates. Now, as a human being, if you don't harm anyone, you don't murder anyone, you don't steal, you don't assault, you don't take anything away, you don't incite people to be violent, or you don't incite racism or hatred, then you have done nothing wrong. You have done nothing wrong. But to be told that you can't travel further than 5 kilometres, you have to wear a mask when you're outside, you can't see your family, you can't see your dying mother or father, you can't cross the border to see your children on Christmas Day. To be told these things, okay, because apparently there is an enemy out there, there is a virus out there, which, okay, there is a virus out there, but let's put things into perspective. Just over 1,000 people since this started have died from COVID-19. But in the same time, 200,000 other people, men, women and children, have died from other causes. Where is their press conference? Over 500 people have died from an adverse reaction to the vaccine. Where is their press conferences? Where is the press conference that my father will probably die in a nursing home and I won't be able to see him? Where is that press conference? And there are thousands, if not millions, of cases like that. And all we are saying to people, enough of you being complacent, enough of you being lazy, enough of you complying your way to freedom. It ain't coming back. You need to go and get it back. Get off your couches. Get off the TV. Stop watching Netflix. Stop ordering Uber Eats. Stop being comfortable. Stop thinking, I'm part of this massive middle class and it's all going to be over soon. It won't. The only people that win from this are the people that haven't given up a cent and have made every decision for us to stay locked in our homes, away from our loved ones. How dare they? They say to me, I can't see my mother on Mother's Day. I can't gather with my family on Easter Sunday. I can't go to a place of worship. I can't see my father. How dare they? Who do these people think they are giving us these rules that make no sense at all? Celebrities can fly in and out of the country because it's good for the economy. Football teams can fly around the country because they're in some COVID bubble. Give me a break. Really? Yeah. Tell me what politicians have given up. They still go to work. They haven't been mandated to take the jab. They haven't given up a cent. They've got a pay rise. And look at us, and we're swallowing it. Listen to the government. I want to ask all those warriors out there, let me ask, when was the last time the government gave you reason to trust them? Mm-hmm. When was the last time the media gave you reason to trust them? 99.99% of the time, people can't stand the government. No one trusts them. But all of a sudden, this pandemic that apparently came from China, which no one is questioning anymore who was responsible for this, all of a sudden, we have to listen to everything the government says. And the only way out of this, if 99.9% of the population is vaccinated. I'm sorry, but the stats, the numbers don't add up. If you are under the age of 85 and you are not in an aged care facility, your chances of overcoming COVID is 99.4% if you get COVID. Now, your chances of getting COVID in this country out of 26 million people, okay, the infection rate is 0.1%. So if you're part of that 0.1%, your chances of dying, okay, if you are in a nursing home and you're of the age of over 85, are still quite small. So why are we locked up? Why are we locked up? Why have they taken so much away from us? Now, I know I'm going on, you know, a bit of a tangent here, and I'm ranting, but Rinat, I'll tell you what, if we don't wake up soon, if we don't wake up that lion within us, okay, if we don't get that spirit back, that fighting spirit that Australians were so famous for in World War One and World War Two, and when we won the America's Cup, and when Jeff Harding won the world boxing title in the 1980s, like, my God, what has happened to us? We've just been divided because the government has said, snitch on your neighbours, dob on your family. If you're unvaccinated, you can't go there. But if you're vaccinated, you can. The division is, I'm sorry, it's just unconscionable what has happened. I can't believe this is the same country that my mother and father came out to that they embraced and loved so much. So as I end all my halftime speeches, pick up your shields, that's your heart. Pick up your swords, that's your mind, that's your knowledge. Link up arms with your brothers and sisters. Leave no gaps, no matter what the government, no matter what thorns or wedges the government tries to put in between them. Link up arms. Don't leave any gaps. Don't give them another inch and start reclaiming that line.
Amazing. For those of you that don't know, that is a halftime speech. And I think it's a really good reminder for people to understand that your background is not just in fitness and coaching and boxing, but it's in biology. You understand and you have asked the questions about the safety, the effectiveness, the necessity of having these vaccines and also these passports. And no one's been able to prove to you that either of those three criterias actually work. And so what I want to speak into just quickly is there was a quote that I really love and I'm consistently gone back to in this whole, you know, what has it been, almost 2 years. And that is from David Hume. And he says, there is no such thing as freedom of choice unless there is freedom to refuse. And I feel that what you've just summed up is taking back our own empowerment first, and then stepping in and reclaiming the line second. It comes from the inner. It's the heart piece. And that's where the transmission happens. So I think the biggest, most contagious thing that we can get out there right now is not COVID, but freedom. We need to make freedom contagious again. And I think that's what you're speaking to so brilliantly. And, you know, there's only one real way to deal with an unfree world, I think, and that is, and I read this is, you know, to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion. I'm trying to remember who said that, but I think it was Albert Camus. And that's what we're doing. Your inner freedom is the biggest threat to the establishment. And when we get that internally and we step forward in that empowered piece, it's unstoppable. And I think we're just about to hit the tipping point. And I'm really excited that we get to be part of that journey in this lifetime, Mac. I think it's an exciting time to be alive in as much as it's difficult. It is a pathway towards an alternative way of living. And we've been due for that for some time because nothing that's come to the surface wasn't already there before. It's just amplified. It's just singing its alarm bells out for the people that can hear it and saying, yeah, I'm willing to step up now and create change. And that movement, that magnetic force, if you're feeling that when you're hearing this talk and you're wondering what you're being called to do, feel into that magnetic pull because that's where it started for me. And I'm sure, Mac, that's where it started for you. So I'd like to hear more about what you have to say about the mandatory vaccinations and vaccine passports. I know we've touched on it already, but was that the final tipping point for you?
Yeah, that was the nail in the coffin for me, to be honest. You know, I kind of just kept my mouth shut about a lot of things. You know, my daughter was born last year on April the 12th, you know, which was Easter Sunday, right in the thick of lockdowns. No family was allowed to be around. And I thought, okay, well, we'll get through this and then we can just, you know, continue to live as normal. But look, that never happened, okay? This is just like being in an abusive relationship. They give you a little bit of freedom. They tell you how much they love you and they care for you and they want to protect you. And then all of a sudden, bang, they hit you over the head with a hammer. Okay, and then they love you again. This is what people experience in abusive relationships, men and women. Okay, now for me, for so many years now you're right, my background is in health and fitness. And when I say health and fitness, I have a degree in exercise science, which majored in physiology and anatomy. I have a master's in sports science. I have a dip ed in biology. And at the same time, when I go to accredit myself to be a teacher, I've got to go through working with children checks. I've got to go through a national police check. So I think my credentials speak for themselves. I've been involved in the health and fitness for over 20 years at the highest level. I've worked with premiership winning sports teams, Olympic athletes at the highest level. So I know a little bit about looking after yourself. Now, the three biggest killers in this country is alcohol, smoking, and obesity-related diseases. Why were then liquor stores, tobacco stores, and junk food stores allowed to remain open while all other services, the poor mum and dad health food shop down the road, they had to close down? That's why. So please, if this was really about health, okay, we would tackle those three biggest killers in this country. They're the biggest burden on the health system, not the unvaccinated. So when I started hearing that, you know, unless you're vaccinated, you can't participate in the economy because you'll be a burden on the economy. It's like, hold on, I look after my health. I don't drink. I've never smoked. I've never done drugs. I don't gamble. I don't do any of that. I keep fit. I try to keep fit. I eat well. I haven't had a Medicare card for 20 years. Now, why then am I being put under so much pressure to take this injection so then I can make someone that drinks, smokes, does drugs, eats crap, I can make them feel safer about themselves? I'm sorry. And, you know, this is a call out to the men. And I'm not being chauvinistic here. I'm not being sexist, because for far too long, men have been made to feel like they are either they're worthless, they shouldn't be men, they shouldn't be standing up, you know, because otherwise you'll be called a male chauvinistic pig. Okay, they've been made to feel stupid and silly. But I'm sorry, I have a wife, I have a daughter, I have a mother, I have a sister. I love the women in my life, so I'm far from that. But men, you have a duty to stand up for everyone, not just women, but for everyone. And I'm not saying you have a duty to do that because the women are weak. No, okay? Men and women are not the same. Let me make that very clear. But that does not mean they are not equal, okay? Men and women are not the same, but they are still equal. Men, we have a duty, okay? And women, they have their duty. And it's not, you know, oh, they in the kitchen or cleaning the house, okay? That's just being immature. No, most of you know what I'm talking about. And that's what I'm asking. What has happened to the men of this country where they would stand up against this tyranny, vaccine passports? Like, this would never have happened. In 1967, Rinat, in this country, in Sydney, just in the early part of 1967, 100,000 people took to the streets before the referendum to allow the Indigenous people to vote. 100,000 people took to the streets in favour of allowing Indigenous people the right to vote and to be recognised as citizens of this country. 100,000 people, when the population was probably 6 million of Australia in 1967, they took to the streets and they demanded the government give them their referendum for the Indigenous people. What has happened to that? Where is that spirit?
Absolutely. And honestly, I think, you know, I've a friend of mine, a custodian, an Indigenous custodian here in the Northern Rivers, Jambi, he says that what's happening out there is a symptom of our disconnection with nature. And if we take a good look around us and all the things that the government and the media are throwing at us, it's literally, we're losing our ability to remember that we are natural, that everything that goes on in our bodies, even that goes out in the nature, that we are connected. This is not this idea of social distancing, this idea of all these mandates to put chemicals in our body as if our bodies are a burden. They are not. We are not a burden on society when we are eating healthy food, we're connecting with nature, we're doing the inner work, we're grounding ourselves, we're connecting to our higher self. That is where we get our empowerment. That is where we get our connection with nature. And I honestly believe it's they're raging a war on everything that is natural about humanness, everything. So I'd like to ask you also about what kind of a legacy you would like to leave for your children and for the students that you teach, because I believe that is a massive driver for you in the work that you do.
How much time do we have, Rinat?
We have enough time.
Okay. I want to tell you just quickly what drives me and the legacy that I want to leave. My grandfather, okay, in Italy, because that's where my family's from. He's not alive now. He died in the mid-80s. The first time I went to Italy, I was told a story about my grandfather during the war. Now, Italy, okay, in the middle of World War II was in turmoil. They'd changed sides from being allied with the Germans to then being allied with the Americans, the Australians and the British. My grandfather at the time, okay, met someone who had he had a farm, and he found someone hiding in his barn. Okay, he was an Italian soldier who had basically deserted. My grandfather found him, and this soldier said to my grandfather, this was in 1942, he said to my grandfather, he said, I want to just get back home north. This is in central Italy. He goes, I want to get back to the north of Italy because I have a wife. She's, baby's due soon, and I really want to see her. And my grandfather said to him, he said, okay. He said, you need to travel by night and rest during the day. He said, I'm going to give you my bike. The soldier looked at the bike and he said, this bike, it's brand new. And my grandfather had only bought it 3 weeks earlier to go to the market and take the food that he sells from his farm. My grandfather said, please just take the bike. It's okay. The soldier said to my grandfather, I promise you, when the war is over, I will return the bike. My grandfather said, thank you. That's fine. In 1948, 6 years later, there was a knock at the door. It was this soldier with his wife and with a five-year-old child and the bike. And he said to my grandfather, he said, I told you I'll bring you this bike. 6 years later, 3 years after the war has ended, that legacy stayed with my grandfather till the day he died. And even now, okay, even now. And I remember hearing that when I was 13 in 1991, when I first went to Italy. And I said to myself, this is the kind of legacy that I want to leave, that my children and grandchildren will say, the sacrifice that their father and grandfather made. That is what I want to do. Now, how that looks, I don't know, but that is what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really beautifully said, Mac. You know, I very rarely, I've only told this story I'm about to tell you to very few people in my life and very important people. So this is the first time I'm saying it on a platform like this. And I think where we have energetically also things in common is that my background is Russian. And so my family's went through wars and it's in my blood. And I think it's in the way you're saying it's in your blood as well. And my grandmother, she would tell me as I was growing up, over and over, you know, you don't settle for the jewelry box. And I didn't really understand what she meant. And as I got older, I kind of assumed that she meant don't settle for money. And I was never somebody that did. I was never driven by money. It just never appealed to me to try to find my way to money. I was always looking for purpose. And that's probably why I was her favorite grandchild. Like she would tell everyone the years as she became more with dementia, she would always tell me, you know, you're my favorite grandchild. And I was like, I know. And I would grow up hearing her say, don't settle for the jewelry box. And towards the end of her life, I said to her, you know, in this moment where she was sort of with us and I was with my mom and I said, what is the jewelry box? And she finally told the story of what happened during the war and that she was running home. It's, you know, the whole family back then lived together. You didn't have different houses. You lived on the same property. And she got wind that the Nazis were coming through the village. And she grabbed her sister-in-law, and she said to her niece and nephew, come with me. And the sister-in-law came out with a jewelry box, and she says, you guys run, we will be fine. And she pointed and looked at the jewelry box will be fine. And my grandma pleaded with her, whatever you do, just come. And she said, no, we'll be fine. And they ended up coming through the village, and they killed her nephew and niece and her sister-in-law. And so the messaging that she gave me in that moment isn't the jewelry box, but what it represents is that you're this false sense of security. And you don't settle for a false sense of security when your freedom and your livelihood and your life and your family is on the line. And I think that whether I knew it or not, I carried that with me my entire life. And when she passed away, I did a speech at her funeral, and it was about memories and it was about the jewelry box. And everywhere I go, I carry that with me, that I make decisions every day in my life that don't give me a false sense of security. And, you know, I can totally relate to you, Mac, that our ancestors and our elders have always left us with wisdom. And they, all the ancestors that came before us, have chosen us to be here in this moment in time and to do the work. And they've given us all these hints along the way. And I feel them. I don't know about you, but I can feel my ancestors and my bloodline standing beside me and behind me and with me as I go through this journey into this, you know, what I believe will become a better earth than we've got now. So thank you for sharing 100%. That story. It's definitely inspired me to share mine.
Renat, I just want to say that was beautiful. Beautiful story. And something you said earlier, everyone was born for this time. Everyone that is alive right now is born for this time, this fight. This is the most important thing that people need to hear. You were born for this time. And you know, one of my favorite writers, G.K. Chesterton, he said, we are not fighting because we hate what's in front of us. We are fighting because we love what's behind us. And as you said, we have our ancestors, okay, our families, people that are behind us. That is why we are fighting.
Absolutely. And I think that's what I've learned in my time as an activist. It wasn't something I set out to do, in much the same way that you expressed that you felt a moment, it was your moment to rise up. I had that feeling as well. And I guess I would like to know more about, since you've entered this activism space, what you've learned and what has come through for you in a very big way. You've had to kind of lead the charge for the teachers. And I wonder what it feels like or what it resonates inside of you to step into a role as an activist.
Well, I've learned two things. First of all, that I can live very simply. I don't need much. Okay, if anything, if the last 2 years have taught me, is that I can live very minimally. Okay, the toys and the luxuries don't matter anymore. Okay, that's the first thing that I've really learned, to detach from a lot of possessions, material possessions, and not that I have a lot. I'm just saying, so to speak. The second thing I've learned is that nothing else matters anymore but freedom. Freedom to live peacefully. Okay, not the freedom to go and be violent or cause riots or go and rob your neighbor. No, I'm just saying, just freedom to be peace, to be at peace.
Yeah, amazing. And if you were to look into the future, if you were to look past what's happening now and you were to open a door into, let's say, 2030, and you were to look through that door and that was opening it up to the vision that you've always had for humanity, tell me what that looks like. Tell me what that feels like.
We've got to get back to communities. We've got to get back to villages, communities. You know, and I understand, especially in the big cities, people live in high-rise buildings or crammed housing. Okay, forget about what it looks like on the outside. It's what it looks like on the inside, and that's the inside of you. But we need to get back to looking after the community, supporting the community, and moving out of this me, to this collectiveness of we. You know, what's, rather than what's in it for me, and accumulating, you know, all these investment properties and all these cars and whatever, it's all about the community. Okay, we were born here. We were given so many gifts. Okay, we were given so many gifts. We need to give those gifts back. We can't take them with us, and you give them back throughout your life to that community. That's what it's got to look like.
Yeah. Beautiful. I was asked a question very similar on an interview recently, and funnily enough, that's almost verbatim what I had to say as well. It was about going back to community. And I think once we find that inner peace in ourselves, we can create it, and we create it within tribes. And yeah, absolutely agree with you there. And maybe you can share with us also the details about the event that's coming up this Friday and how people can get behind it.
Yeah, sure. So basically, we're taking strike action. So, you know, in once upon a time, people may remember in Australia, we used to have industrial strike action where, you know, and they used to make a difference. So basically, we're taking strike action on Friday. We're asking everyone to wear white. There'll be various locations all over the country. We want you to wear white and on the front with a hashtag reclaim the line, and perhaps on the back your profession and your years of service. Okay, if you can't legally attend one of these locations, please support us by, you know, wearing that T-shirt all day. Strike, don't attend work, don't go to work, don't do any work. Wear that T-shirt all day when you go shopping, you go for a jog, you go for a walk. Just wear that, film yourself, take a selfie, put it on social media, hashtag reclaim the line. Have a look at all these other locations about the people getting together. And we're doing it peacefully, safely, and we're doing it in silence. We are sending a message in silence and in white, because that is the color of peace and unity. And we are being silent to show that we can still be strong and united without the screaming and shouting and the violence and the dictating from the government and the politicians. Okay, because that's all we're hearing from them is just noise, noise, noise. And we're going to show them that that noise doesn't affect us.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a good reminder that, you know, it's a recognition as well that a lot of people are feeling the pressure, you know, from all sides, their family, their friends, their work colleagues, their employers, the medical establishment to get this, you know, this medical procedure, which is what the vaccination is. It's still an experimental phase. And the resilience that's needed right now to really do what is best for ourselves and for the people that we love, it's a way of us coming together and saying, I see you. I'm with you to reclaim the line. We can do this together. And that's part of community, you know, and this is part of recognizing your tribe and recognizing the people that are willing not to just talk about it, but to rise on their feet and walk the talk. And that is a whole nother conversation when you walk the talk. And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I'm awake, I'm awake, I'm awake. But I've always said this, and I'm going to say it again, if you're awake, it's not as good as getting out of bed on your feet. And that's where the real work happens. And I think that that's Mac, what you're doing, and I commend you for it. We're cheering you the whole way. We're standing beside you, as you know. And I know that we've got a journey ahead, and we've got ourselves and our backstory and everything ready to go to the march. And we're very, very thrilled to be on this path with you.
Thank you. Thanks, Renata. And again, thanks for all your support and your team. You're all wonderful. And, you know, we've never met face to face, but believe me, we will.
Yeah.
Okay, we definitely will. So
on that hill, Mac.
That hill. That's it. That's the hill I die on.
That's it. We're gonna be able to find each other on that hill. And I think for everybody that wants to get behind National Education United, look up those words on Telegram and follow all the updates and all the news and all the protocols that Mac and his team shares, because it's invaluable. It's really helping people find their feet and find their confidence to reclaim their freedoms. So well done to you, Mac. Well done to your team. And we're going to keep doing the work, and I look forward to it. I really look forward to where this is going to take us. So well done.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
There you have it. Yes, technology does bring a sense of connection, but now you know there is another side behind the marketing curtain. So what can you do? Stay connected with us at wearenotsam.com. You can also find us on Instagram or Telegram at wearenotsam and subscribe to our channel. But most importantly, find your tribe and spread the word. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of The We Know Show. Whilst The We Know Show presenters endeavour to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice. You should always seek the advice from a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of The We Know Show podcasts.